Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
We are back on Youth Sports Now, and it is time for the Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training segment. And, of course, with us, as he is every week, is Mike Naparella from Peak Performance. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Do you have a good weekend and a good week so far?
Excellent, Greg.
You know, we've got a couple of listener questions regarding, you know, types of injuries and wanting to understand them better. So maybe it would be a good time for you to review, you know, what the different common injuries are that coaches, sports administrators, and parents really need to look out for.
Yeah, you know what, Greg, their timing on some of these questions is just incredible. We saw that the last few weeks. But, you know, it's the high school sports season, and teams started their tryouts and practices last week, and games are going to be beginning for some teams, I believe, even next week. And so the kids are doing two-a-days or double sessions last week. Some may still be doing them this week. And there's a lot going on. And so those risks of injuries start to rise as time passes here. And it's a time where I think it's a timely review for us to all just think about what are all these different words we hear in medical jargon. There's strains and sprains and all these sort of things. So I think it's a great question. A strain is one of the common things that can happen, and that's really thought of as a muscle or a tendon sort of injury. Commonly people would say, I pulled my hamstring or I pulled my quad, and that would be a tension type injury where the muscle tendon got injured. A sprain is another common injury. And strain and sprain gets tossed around a lot together, and that really is very frequently sort of a mistake or a misnomer. They're not the same thing. The one is a muscle tendon. A sprain is the ligament, and the ligaments are those connective tissue, fibrous sort of tissues in our body that connect two bones together. So if we think of like our ankle, those bones are held together by ligaments that keep those connected and in a relationship with each other. Without the ligaments, those bones wouldn't be together. And the same is true of all those different bones. If you think about your elbow, there's ligaments that connect the arm bone to the forearm bones, and that creates an elbow joint. Without those ligaments, those bones would separate from each other. So a sprain is when that ligament tissue gets overstretched and damaged. A common example is an ankle sprain. Another type of injury would be a contusion. Just think of that like a bump or a bruise. Something gets fallen on or in a tackle, someone's helmet or their shoulder pad hits you in the thigh, and you get a bruising of tissue. And another one, obviously, is a fracture, and that's obviously where a bone has a crack in it. But people should know, too, that sometimes people believe that the word fracture and break mean two different things. The word fracture just tells us that there was a crack in the bone. It may be a displaced fracture where the bone ends are not in alignment anymore, or it could be a non-displaced fracture where on the film the bone would look like its normal shape and alignment, but you can see a fracture line or a crack in it. Obviously, they're both a problem. A displaced fracture is a bigger problem than a non-displaced. But those are some of the common injuries.
And Mike, does that also, you know, follow suit with what you're saying with the fractures? You know, you hear so many times where kids will come back from the doctor and they'll say, you know, they have a hairline fracture. So is that kind of what you're talking about, where maybe there's a little bit of a fracture in the bone?
Right, and it's mild, and certainly those are non-displaced sort of fractures, but there's still a fracture, and that bone isn't meant to have a fracture line in it. It's supposed to have great integrity of those bone tissue cells, and we don't want to have a fracture line. And that can be a time as well where they're going to have to be potentially locked down and immobilized, whether it be in a boot or a cast or a brace of some sort, resting from activity so that bone can heal. The good news is that, you know, the kids that we're talking about at the high school, the junior high, even the college level to some degree, but certainly these younger ages are in active growth stages, and so they tend to heal much more quickly from these sort of injuries, of all the injuries really, than most adults would, because, you know, their metabolism and the growth and the hormones that are going on at those ages lend themselves to quicker healing.
And, you know, you used a word that is actually in one of the questions from one of our listeners, and it's something I've always wondered about, and it's growth, and I'm going to add the word growth plates to that concept.
Absolutely.
You know, so many times you hear, you know, the parents will come back after a visit to the doctor after a sports injury, especially with the kids who are younger. And they'll always, you know, maybe mention that they're concerned about growth plate issues. First of all, what is a growth plate, and why do we have to be concerned about them?
I love this question, and it really ties into this idea of fractures that we just talked about. It's a real issue, because if you talk with orthopedic surgeons, physicians about this idea of a growth plate injury, the medical jargon is the physis. The growth plate is the area of a long bone, and let's say the femur, your thigh bone, or the tibia, your leg bone, or the upper arm bone, the humerus. There's a place near the end of that bone that's called a growth plate, and it's a cartilaginous sort of region, but it's where growth and change in the cellular structure is occurring, and that's where the long bone starts to develop its length. So that's an area that it's a weaker area. It doesn't have the same sort of structural integrity and stress tolerance, if you will, that the rest of the bone itself does. And so that area is a region where damage can occur from compression or bending or twisting and all the sorts of things that happen to us when we get hurt. Now, there is certainly not a controversy, but a debate or challenge out in the orthopedic world in terms of when someone's younger and they have what we call open growth plates, should we consider almost any sprain-type injury that would have normally, let's say an adult, caused an ankle sprain? Is that really, unless proven otherwise, should it always be considered a growth plate injury potentially? And it's difficult because a plain x-ray, or what we call a plain film, when you go to the emergency room or you go to the urgent care and you have an x-ray, that's excellent at reading and looking at the integrity of the bone itself. But the growth plate itself, if it's still, as we call, you know, quote-unquote open, if the growth plate still exists in a teenager, then that area is seen as a clearer area. It doesn't have that white coloring that the bone does. And so it's much more difficult acutely when they first get injured to really see whether or not there's potentially a fracture within that growth plate. Now, depending on whose system you're using, there's different categorizations of a growth plate injury. And if someone looks at a film and there's a fracture in the bone, like you had mentioned, a hairline, if there's a fracture in the bone section just below the growth plate and you can see the fracture line extending into the growth plate, you can make an assumption that the fracture probably does extend into the growth plate itself. But what about when there's no clear fracture in the white part of the bone that you see on the film? Can we be certain from a plain x-ray alone that there's not a growth plate injury? And that's difficult. The healing of that won't show for a few weeks. And more expensive tests, like MRIs, for example, and other tests, can reveal that growth plate injury, but it's really a huge impracticality to be able to put everyone who gets injured through those. So some orthopedists will look at it from a perspective of if a young athlete had a sprain injury, we can assume that there was probably some growth plate injury there as well. So if someone's very tender over the area where the growth plate is, oftentimes they'll just be casted and treated as if it's a growth plate fracture. So that goes along again with the idea that we don't want to just minimize words like, oh, it's just a sprain. Because a sprain can actually be a very significant injury, and sometimes more debilitating and difficult to recover from than even, you know, some simpler fractures. But then if you add in the fact that it could be a growth plate fracture in a teenager, for example, that needs to be treated with care and not just ignored and thought of, well, it's a sprain, they'll get over it.
So Mike, you know, let's talk about little Bobby or little Amanda, and they are told they have a growth plate issue or a growth plate problem. You know, what's the best thing for them to do? Do they play through it? Do they immobilize and sit? You know, what's the best thing for these kids to do?
Well, that's a good question, because we would look at an acute injury, just any old acute injury, a little bit differently than when we start tying the word fracture to it. So if we're talking about a growth plate injury, there's a good chance that they've seen an orthopedic doctor. Now, they may have seen their pediatrician as well, or instead, but if they've seen a physician who's actually made the diagnosis that it's a growth plate injury, they're going to be the ones leading the decision making on treatment choices. You know, is that going to go into a brace? Is it going to be casted? Very commonly, if someone's calling that a growth plate fracture, an injury to the growth plate, they're going to be shut down for a little while to let that rest. Now, that may only be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's not like you or I who gets a true bony fracture. We may be immobilized for 4 to 6 weeks. If it's really bad, it may be longer. In a teenager, that's not usually the case. Again, it depends on severity, but that's not as often the case. So we have seen people who have come in from the orthopedic doctor. They were diagnosed with an ankle sprain that is really a growth plate injury as well, and they may be put into a walking boot for a week or two, into an ankle brace, and then they're working back gradually toward athletics. So it really is driven by the decision-making of the orthopedic doctor who makes the diagnosis and decides, you know, how bad is it and how aggressive can we be. They're going to allow some healing, and they're also going to very frequently with those, once that healing phase has gone through, let it be symptom-dependent. So if someone's feeling better, you can move them on. Whereas a fracture in an adult, for example, you know, you're going to be locked down. I don't care how good it feels. You're going to be locked down for a certain period of time because we know it takes that long to heal.
So
talking about an acute injury like a strain or a sprain, you know, we talked about this with Phil on the show recently with the athletic trainer from West Irondequoit. It's really helpful for young athletes who get hurt to have athletic trainers at their school, and we're certainly at Peak Performance an advocate of that. They're skilled professionals in the schools. Are wise to have them available. But it really is a challenge. You know, that one athletic trainer can't take care of potentially hundreds of kids. If you think about a football team, and there's a modified program, there's a JV program, there's a varsity program, and that's just in boys football, how many kids you're talking about. Then when you talk about boys and girls cross country, and you have volleyball, and you have boys and girls soccer, there's lots of athletes that need to be taken care of. And so we would really encourage parents and coaches and athletes to make sure that if a kid gets hurt in school, they've got a sports injury, certainly try to see the athletic trainer, but that may not always be realistic. That's why we're available with that form of access that's called direct access, where they can give us a call at 218-0240, that's our phone number, and try to set up an appointment for direct access physical therapy, which lets that young athlete who gets hurt come in and get looked at and evaluated and try and help them decide what's the right next step to do. If they want options other than potentially going to the emergency room or seeing their doctor. And if we see somebody that needs to get films, we certainly will send them back to their pediatrician or potentially to an orthopedist. But we know the great majority of injuries tend to be soft tissue injuries. They're not all fractures. So a lot of those kids can begin their treatment process very early versus potentially waiting too long, having it fester. They don't get better. They're losing time. It's getting stiffer, getting weaker. And then the recovery process is much more difficult. So I would say, Greg, that if someone has an acute injury, and it's not a bump or a bruise or a ding that is getting better very quickly in 2 or 3 days, they should certainly seek help. And coming to see us is one of those alternatives.
So, you know, they seek help. They either talk to their doctor, their athletic trainer. And, of course, they can call you at Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, or even, you know, stop by and set up appointment at 161 East Commercial Street in East Rochester. And, you know, that's one of the smartest things that I think that they can do. And Mike, you know, one of the things that you mentioned about athletic trainers and how you guys work, you know, it's important to stress that people can call you directly for the direct access if they have an issue, and you know you're going to work with them. You have their best interest and their kid's best interest at heart, and everybody at Peak Performance really understands the injuries and you know what to do to overcome them.
Well, we deal with these things day in and day out, so we're very familiar with athletic injuries, with orthopedic injuries, and with teenage and youth athletic injuries, and so. You know, if we see something that clearly looks like, you know, we've got to make a decision here, is this potentially a fracture, then that's not something that we're going to be treating in physical therapy until we send them back to the physician and they can decide that there's no fracture, get some films on it. And so we work very closely with both family doctors and pediatricians and as well as orthopedic doctors as well in terms of getting people in very quickly oftentimes. Or many orthopedic doctors have urgent care facilities. So if there is a real concern about a fracture, or a tear. If there's someone, for example, had an Achilles tear, or someone had a potentially, we thought they had an ACL tear, then we would certainly initiate them with the early range of motion and instructing them in controlled activity and those sorts of early care things. But we would get those people shipped off to a physician right away. But very often, Greg, we see kids who have mild strains, sprains, and they need help getting back to their sport, but there really is, there's no need to put them in a cast. There's no need to have x-rays done. And if we think of how it goes right now, you know, very frequently many of those kids are being seen by athletic trainers in the school, and they certainly never see their physician. Some of them are just talking with their parents or talking with their fellow teammates or coaches about how to handle those injuries. And so being able to see a skilled professional who's got experience and knowledge base not only hopefully gets them back quicker, but is done very safely.
Mike, you know, one more time before we end our segment, tell everybody again what your phone number is, what your address is, and even if they want to go online to check things out, where they can go.
Absolutely. So our website is www.peakptrochester.com, and our phone number is 218-0240. We are located in East Rochester, and that address is 161 East Commercial Street, which you can punch in on our website and get directions directly here. But the nice thing, one of the things I love about our location, Greg, is that we're literally 1 mile off of the East Rochester exit on 490. And so, you know, whether it's people in Brighton or Rochester, Pittsford and Penfield and Fairport, we're very easily accessible by a lot of people in these different surrounding communities with, you know, a 5 or a 10 or even a 15-minute ride. And so it's been an awesome location for us. It's very easily accessible off the highway there. And so that's how you can get a hold of us.
Great. We've been speaking with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Mike, hey, great topics as always. And we definitely urge everybody to send in their questions to us, and we'll get them all to Mike so he can be prepared and answer them for you. And we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Excellent. We'll see you next week, Greg.
Up next on Youth Sports Now, some final thoughts from my dugout.